don't care about it, which is most people, including NFL fans.
And myself.
And Eric.
You know who does care about it, though? I feel like the players, because they get a free trip to Hawaii.
Hell yeah, dude. No, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited for it. No, I was showing these guys a picture I took today. Eric was literally just telling us about the... I mean, you said it's cold. He said the wind's going to be freezing in 2 days. What's the deal?
Yeah, no, like, it's actually going to be warmer this week than it was last week, but right now there's, like, a chance of freezing rain, and there's a winter weather advisory for the Chicago area.
So, it's going to be bad, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right now there's, like, a couple inches of rain, and, like, everywhere there's puddles because Chicago doesn't have that good drainage, but... Once it goes below freezing tonight, you know, when the sun goes down, not that it's altogether that sunny, that's just going to all turn to sheets of ice.
It's so funny hearing you guys complain about your weather issues, whereas over here, it's just snow, constant snow.
Nature.
All winter, nature. It's just been snowing, and it's so, it's already full of ice on the ground, and everybody's falling over everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you laughing at people? Did you point and laugh?
No, I almost fell myself, so I couldn't.
She sent me a photo from her camera phone. She said, look at this person. They slipped on the ice.
Just lying there in my way.
That's very rude.
Yeah, I had to step on them to get through.
It reminds me of our question from last week, if you guys remember, when we were like, hey, what would the alliances be if we played the Game of Thrones board game?
Oh yeah.
And I love one of the answers to the question, what would the alliances be in the Game of Thrones board game? Oliver Bean said Selena.
Just her.
Just Selena.
Yeah, I don't play well with others, so it's right? Just gonna be me, and I'm gonna win.
There were some really, really incredible ones, and I thought of this because we're talking about all of our geographically limited weather situations. I showed them a picture. I was playing football today. Literally, it was warm enough to do that, and it just mystifies me. Like, I had the moonroof down in my car today, and it was literally warm. Although we've got people like Selena, for example, and Eric, you know, dealing with snow and, you know, crazy shit. And Eric or Micah had snow last week. Like,
yeah, it actually snowed at the beginning of the week and then at the end of the week. So I was bookended by snow. And I think that freezing rain that you're talking about, Eric, is supposed to make its way over to New York either tomorrow or Tuesday. So I'm really looking forward to that.
You know, you guys...
I'll send you a postcard of it.
I'm sorry. I know that there's not much Game of Thrones news, but are we seriously spending like 10 minutes of the podcast talking about the weather?
Winter is coming.
That's the whole point.
It could be worse, Selena. We could live in swampy fortresses, you know, with bogs.
No, it's true. And no bog.
And quicksand.
That's true. We have a lot
more
to talk about.
Are you seriously transitioning to... Okay, I got you. I see what you're doing now. But I was going to read that bit from Gordon Walsh, but...
Oh, yeah, do it.
Go ahead, Michael. What were you saying?
No, I just was going to point out to Selena, that's what Zach was trying to do. He's tying it all into the winter is coming theme.
Yeah.
That people, you know, utilize way, way, way too much on social media and other places, myself included.
It's true. Maybe Game of Thrones really is all about the weather.
George R. R. Martin figured out that all he needed to do is brand.
Talk about the season.
Just brand it. Because like Potter, for example, and I'm pulling Potter out because we love Potter and it's very successful. There's no sentence for Potter. You know, you're a wizard, Harry. Like my dad used to say
You've
that to me.
You've got your
like,
mother's eyes.
Yeah, well, I mean, but even then, I mean, like, you don't hashtag that like people do. You know, there's not a fan site called yourmothersyes.net, you know?
He picked the right month, or excuse me, the right season, though, too, don't you think? I feel like winter is
Autumn
coming.
Autumn is coming.
Is that a threat?
Autumn is coming could be, like, the title of a porn movie, so I feel like winter is coming works out perfectly. So could summer. Fall or spring, not so much.
Yeah, actually, on the back of the book of... A Song of Ice and Fire, Part 1, The Game of Thrones, it says, it opens this way, actually, in a world where a cataclysmic event has thrown the seasons out of whack. Actually,
oh
I'm
my
not sure
God,
it says that.
Does it say
not
that?
Actually reading.
It
says that.
What cataclysmic event is this? Why have we not
I don't know. I was
going to
ask you guys, because that's what it says. We're talking.
Always had been out of whack, but if this...
That's the thing.
Oh my God.
Right?
Game changer.
Oh, shit.
I shit you not. So...
We
the
should
is,
be
talking
about the
winter.
Weather. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's the key to the whole show.
See? Aha. I mean, I knew the whole time.
I stand corrected. Don't ally yourself with me. I'm stupid.
All right. Speaking of alliances, I'm going to read off. We should visit some of these here and as they compile throughout the week. I am going to go ahead and say Grecia, Potter, Karina. Grecia, Karina, Potter. on Facebook.
Is that even
possible?
Just
help me out here. It's something. It's on Facebook.com/GameBones. You guys can read it. What a beautiful name, by the way. Just great. Me, Selena, and Micah would kill Zach and Eric first. So she's in the game.
I'll play.
Now. Yeah, yeah. So Grekia is in the game. Oliver thinks that Selena is the only alliance necessary. Grekia is inside of the game now. She says, me, Selena, and Micah would kill Zach and Eric first. So Eric, we're dead. X marks the spot.
I'm sending a trend that I like here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Then I turn Selena on Micah and let them duke it out till one of them is left. So she's going to be like Varysing, like whispering sweet nothings in the ear, being like, Selena, Micah, I saw him when you didn't finish your meal the other night. You didn't completely mm-hmm. finish your curry, mm-hmm. and you put it in Tupperware and you put it in the fridge, and Micah ate it. That's where it went. And you're like, that bastard. And the remainder of this, she says, then I kill the remainder, not to be redundant. It's not personal against any of you. Mama just likes to win. So out of the four of us, that would have a lie. She wins the entire game. So congratulations, Grekia. I think we can give it up for her, like little hands, little applause, maybe. Ooh. Right, just tiny.
Yep, well done.
There's also this cool one here on Twitter from Allie Tarwater. She says, it matters not what alliances you form. I am an underdog person. Eric and the Fishwives will destroy
yay.
All.
It's not yes. true, but yay.
Underdog person.
We also have another alliance breakdown courtesy of Gordon Walsh. And this is really strategic. This is really well planned out. I like it a lot. He says, the Eastern Seaboard isn't big enough for both Micah and Eric. Eric marches on the back of Illinois' might and lays siege to Micah's Syracuse holdfast. Due to extensive damage caused by Hurricane Sandor, Micah cannot hold, is obliterated, and the Jews truly are driven back into the sea. All right. Okay. Zach has sold his sister to buy an alliance with 40,000 Midwest Dothraki screamers.
I don't have a sister.
Well, you do for all purposes
okay.
of this.
Okay.
With Bruce.
Bruce Force, the actor from... Wait, no, he's not real.
That's Bruce Continue. Almighty. With brute force and the power of the West Coast that can only come from a House Pit Jolie endorsement, Zach marches on war-ravaged New York. However, the Dothraki must pray to the Mother of Mountains, Oprah, and will not march just yet.
This is funny shit.
Zach must strike while the iron is hot and challenges Eric to single combat in a Harry Potter off. Eric is confident of victory, but Zach's champion, Andrew, easily does away with him, and Zach seizes the Iron White House.
Boom.
We're not done yet. Hold on. However,
Selena.
Zach's victory is short-lived. He has been betrayed by his small council. Laura and Elisa have been working for the Queen of the North, Selena of...
Yes!
Wait. You're known as Selena of Kokiri and have facilitated her return...
That's bullshit. Kokiri is a southern forest.
...to West Rican shores. She arrives on said shores with White Walkers, direwolves, giants, and all other forms of monstrosities from beyond the Swedish wilderness. Her direwolf, Navi... brutally slaughters Zach in his sleep.
I get Zelda too.
Oh, cool. Navi can kill me any day. Go on.
Claiming victory for Europe. Oprah hugs Selena so the Dothraki mark her as a Dosh Kaleen and all is well.
Oh, nice.
Yay. I love this.
I think that Gordon Walsh is George Martin just messing with us. Because this is just, it's too eloquently put. There's too much imagery here. Great, great work, Gordon.
Wow.
That's
excellent. Impressive.
In the words of Oliver Linner Bean, I think he said it best. Selena!
Selena! Yeah! That shall be my war cry.
Queen of the North.
Queen of the North! Yes.
I love that your war cry is just chanting, just saying
just
your name.
Just my name. What else do you need? You don't need anything else. Just Selena. You know exactly where the victory is going to go.
The chapter that we read this week, and that was my eloquent transition, by the way, everyone. Just going right into it. Just a clean break. You know, no need for a cast.
I like it, yes.
Just put a titanium rod in there, a few screws, you're fine. No, the chapter we read today on this fateful and kind Monday was actually a lot like the things that we were just reading, you know. Like, we kind of asked them, we're like, hey, what kind of alliances would be funny? But, like, Gordon, for example, and Grecia, Gracia, damn it. Anyway, they wrote out sort of long strategic bits. And reading so much of this chapter, like, it was really cool for me. I'm sure it was for you guys. But the entire dialogue between Rob and his mom, that was some cool shit. That was pretty awesome.
Agreed. And the other thing, we always bring this up, I guess, but, you know, the age differential between the books and the TV show. But here again, Catelyn was nervous because all of these men, you know, the Bannermen, all the people who are loyal to the Starks have followed Rob to this holdfast. But in the books, it just seems like it's more of a thing, more important, because he is so darn young in the books, you know. And in the show, he was still pretty young, but I could see it, you know. I was like, he still is kind of a man. But here he's really like 14 or 15. And so it is a little strange to see all these people, you know, continuing to follow him. But, you know, he has proven his worth. Nobody said he hasn't, but he's still pretty darn young.
It's so strange to imagine like a 15-year-old commanding an army. Like, who would take a 15-year-old seriously? But it's different times again, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Catelyn tells him as much. She says, you know, you can choose to go back to Winterfell with your, basically your tail tucked between your legs, but think of what that's going to do for any strategic alliances we have moving forward. It's just going to prove to everybody out there that you're too young to do what you're doing. And so, but at the same time, earlier on in the chapter, she's questioning in her mind, like, why hasn't Rob given power over to any of these Bannermen, you know, Bannermen mm-hmm. who are far more experienced in the battlefield and far more experienced in terms of strategic planning. And it's clear, very clear from the way Rob acts, that he feels that because it is his father that is, you know, been taken captive, that he must lead.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody else get confused when they read Moat Cailin? Do you ever just want to say Caitlin?
Yeah.
It's like, George, you forgot a T. And then and that used to mess me up with Catelyn, too, because I didn't know originally, not having seen the show, was it Catelyn? And then you're going to Moat Catelyn?
Or Catelyn or Catelyn. I still don't know.
No, Cailin is a real name.
Cailin?
Too. Cailin, yeah.
Oh. What about Roose Bolton? Is that a real name, Eric?
I'm not saying he's not screwing with us, making it difficult.
The Red Rooster. That's where his name comes from. If you've ever watched an old school WWF, also known as the Gobbledygooker, who showed up at Survivor Series, only at Survivor Series.
I am blown away.
And then McFoley fell through the cage.
Oh man, we're really
the world was changed forever.
We're going in another direction here.
I actually watched a bunch of videos of that recently.
Did you?
Yeah, for like 3 hours. Anyway, you get weird nights when you work with bands. Anyway, I think Moat Cailin reminds me a lot of a place on a video game. Does that make sense? The name is just is just familiar enough, and it's just vague enough to be like, oh, I walked like, oh, Assassin's Creed. That's one of the places you go in a video game. And when they started to talk about the entire history of the place, about how the first men had a hall as large, if not bigger, than Winterfell. Let's just say bigger. And instead it was made out of wood, and so it's aged over the years. And so much of the descriptors, it was like, there's in this tower, a giant bite mark. And the beast, like, threw rubble all over the yard, which I don't think that really did happen. I might be wrong here. But
probably
was
not.
It a dragon? I mean, it was just like, it's imagery, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge-ass dragon.
And I wondered why the show chose not to go in this direction. And
I know.
And I guess it's because they never really chose to stay at Moat Cailin.
But it was the coolest place, though.
It was
like,
yeah.
For you guys that are listening in, they didn't have it in the show, you know, without reading, I'd say the easiest way I could describe it is as if Isengard had three towers, and instead of like nice, like chat, like gravel you'd see in a driveway underneath in Isengard, obviously before the orcs moved in, it was like a marshland. So they essentially had a stronghold that they could defend against people with like 10 times the amount of soldiers as them, because it's surrounded by waist deep muck and quicksand and like lizard lions. So it's pretty rad.
Yeah. I would almost, we mentioned the Kokiri earlier, but it's almost like something you would walk up to in Zelda, and in front of you it would be one of those cutscenes.
Yeah,
and you'd see these
pull back.
Yeah, these three towers. And it would be such cool imagery, but again, because in season one you don't ever come back to this particular space, I feel like that's probably why they chose to just do it in the middle of a field. Like Catalan
plus
walks up to the tents. I mean, it wasn't as exciting.
Plus, it's like a great thing to have to look forward to if they ever go back there in future books. You know, it's sort of a scene that could still surprise viewers after we think we've seen everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that they do.
Yeah. Me too.
I just like how Ned Stark, you know, stands by this place and he's like, oh, it's, you know, he always said that it was stronger than it appeared. And I like that because that's a good, you could compare that to Ned, you know, being stronger than he appears. Aww. Although that's debatable. But yeah.
No, that is cool because, I mean, so much of their conversation between Kat and Rob is, you know, she's basically just looking up at him. And it's a Catelyn chapter that we have. So obviously we're seeing it from her perspective. We don't have any Rob POVs. And we're getting to know so much about him through her eyes. And what she sees is her son, now almost at age of 16, looking like her brother. And she's like, oh, you're getting whiskers. He got whiskers at 16. He's like, I'm almost 16. And it's cool because she's like, you know, when he starts talking good about Moat Cailin, and he's like, this is a cool place. I like it. I'm thinking of building a summer home here. She's like, oh, that's so much like Ned. Oh, you're father's son. I love that. And it was really heartwarming for me to read because, you know, amidst all of the strategic planning, you know, that he has just papers and papers of stuff lied in front of him. The entire time he is like halfway worried that she's just going to send him home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's fantastic at guiding him as well. You know, she really takes on the role, which in some ways, like Rob is facing such a massive responsibility right now, but Catelyn has to work, or Catelyn, oh, Catelyn, messing me up.
Wow.
Catelyn has to work behind the scenes to make sure that he makes the right decisions without anyone knowing that she's, what she know, you know, you have these women working behind the scenes in the show, like both Catelyn and Cersei, you know, have very parallel journeys with trying to influence their sons into making the decisions that they believe are the right ones, you know. And I think we see both Rob and Joffrey bite off way more than they can chew, trying to play off like adult games, and both make some mistakes, but Rob obviously does a better job.
It's interesting that Rob does a better job because he's a kid, and you know, it's almost like you're looking at a kid's perspective on war, and yet he's able to come up with such a creative strategy in order to really fake out Tywin. And it's just
he's grown up playing video games.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so interesting to me that he's able to go to battle against these two well-known soldiers in Tywin and Jaime Lannister, and he lays it out there. And at first he says, well, maybe I'll send Great John Umber south because, you know, he always talks about wanting to kick Tywin's ass. And Catelyn's like, well, are you really sure you want to do that? I think we need somebody who's a little bit more crafty. And Rob's like, how about Roose Bolton? He scares the shit out of me, you know? And she's like, I think that's a good choice. And so it's just amazing that he's laying this plan out, and he's going to send, he said he's going to split his troops, but I don't really know in the end if that's what he does. I think he actually sends a much smaller contingent towards Tywin and takes all of his men around to go after and capture Jaime Lannister.
You know, I wonder if this is why George R. Martin doesn't write from Rob's perspective, because you have to see that this young 15-year-old kid, he is in a way a bit too clever, like almost, you know, look at some of the things he does, like they are pretty incredible. And maybe if he wrote from his perspective, he wouldn't really be able to explain it away. You know, you sort of see Rob as this figure who does these incredible things like that. And maybe going inside his head would ruin it a little bit.
It'd be so self-important. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's so much better to appreciate brilliance from the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, look at him.
That's a good point.
He's so noble, you know? It's like watching Dumbledore, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, someone appears so sort of jaunty and loose and almost, I don't want to say, like, frail. Because Rob doesn't necessarily appear frail, but inside of his mind, it's like you don't really know from looking at it as an outsider if he's going to break down or not. Like, you don't know what's happening. But somehow, what he puts together, his ideas, they turn out to be good every time.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And so when you're side of his head, like, what does he think? Like, man, this is so smart. They're going to think I'm so funny. You know what
I mean? Yeah, it doesn't really work, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't. That's why characters have flaws, and that's why stories are based on drama every time. Conflict. Anyway.
The question I wanted to ask Selena, though, is how did she react when Rob said that he sent a raven to Howland Reed?
I was just going to say that. It was the first mention of the Krennic men. I was very, very excited. I was hoping you guys picked up on that as well.
Oh, yeah. That got me super excited, too.
Yeah.
I was like, woo. I also want to
give out a shout out to Beric Dondarrion and his crazy priest running around setting his sword on fire.
Yeah, now that is pretty badass, mm-hmm. right?
How about the little bit of confrontation when Catelyn reveals that she no longer has Tyrion? And because they were all excited, they were thinking, well, we may not even have to go to war. We may be able to barter the imp for Ned or Sansa or Arya. And now Catelyn's like, oh, by the way, I lost the imp. He's not with me anymore.
Yeah.
They're pissed, to say the least.
Yeah. And Lysa, she's like one crazy bitch. I forget what Eric said. She called her something way back, probably a couple months ago. It was such an accurate description of her. Do you remember what it was, Eric?
Well, there's crazier than a shithouse rat. Is that?
I think so. Yeah. Because
no hesitation, man. You remember it.
Catelyn.
Well, Lysa tends to stick out in my mind. That's what it
is. Well, she tells
every
her
time I read
her own sister, if you try and take Robert away, you're going home through the moon door. And all Catelyn's trying to do is, why don't we have Robert come to Winterfell so he can have a normal childhood and not be sucking on your breast at 7 years old?
Seven or something. Yeah. This kid could use some guys in his life, some male influence. I don't know, or two. There was also a mention of Theon in this chapter.
He smiled.
Of course, he gets no love from Catelyn, who says that smiley boy, Theon Greyjoy. I wouldn't have given control to him either.
You know, Theon sometimes really reminds me of like Peter Pan at his most annoying. Like, you know, like Peter Pan when he's just like that smiling,
can't fly,
creepy boy.
Can't crow.
Yes, exactly. Like, sometimes I know Peter Pan's supposed to be the hero of the story, but sometimes he's really annoying. And that's what Theon is like sometimes, with his smile in the background, just observing everyone. God.
That's what I like about him.
But know that he was an option, Eric, that Catelyn did consider in her mind of leading the Bannermen into war. If only for five seconds. But that's it. I mean, that's really kind of how the chapter wraps up, with the plan hopefully being enacted. What do you call it? Is it like a feint? Is that what it's called? When you
Or a juke.
Fake.
Just juke. They juke.
QB sneak.
52. Goo 52.
Like a crossover?
No. It's really smart because you get to see, right now we're seeing the basis.
Is that Bran? Did you just send a picture of Bran to us?
No, that's the hottest photo you'll ever see.
Dylan, I got one hotter than that.
You don't have one hotter than that.
I have one hotter than that.
Is it of you?
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. Now you have to see this so much better.
Yes. Look at this photo of me. Trust. I mean, put yourself in the position of a reader that hasn't seen the show yet. You know, let's imagine that there's not a season two and we don't know what Rob is going to do with the charge of commanding the entire North, essentially. Mm-hmm. And this chapter is sort of your first look. I mean, we got to see some when Grey Wynn got a little crazy and got a little crazy with his fangs. And for a moment, we were like, oh, shit, Rob means business. But then later, he was talking to Brandon, and he was like, man, that was crazy. And that was exciting. Yeah. But now we get to see him sitting with his mom, and he's making war plans. And Selena, you were saying she was doing such a great job guiding him. And I think, to your point, the strongest part of that chapter is when Kat is sitting with Rob, and he's making these plans, and he's saying, he should go here, he should go here, he should go here. And she's like, well, which one is it? And he's like, I don't know, I'm going to work on it, I'll figure it out. She was like, bullshit. You need to tell me right now, for sure who is doing what. Yeah. Because when all those guys come back in here, they're not going to be wanting to hear maybe. They need to know that they're being commanded by someone who has his head on straight, who knows what he's doing, because not only are their lives at stake, but the lives of the men that they command are at stake, and definitely beyond that, the lives of their families are at stake. So they're essentially putting all of this onto the shoulders of a 15-year-old kid whose dad is captured. And it's just, I mean, when you really think about it, you know, reading this chapter for me got me so much more excited for the story, because there is a lot to come to. There's a television show. There's an entire series coming. You know, there's the fandom community online. That's always exciting. And there's really great people. But more importantly, beyond all of that, there are pages and pages of pages of great story written in these books. And I'm just really excited for us to like break into the rest of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some cool shit.
Absolutely. The other thing that we didn't really mention, and I don't know that he accompanies her in the series to the camp, and that's Brendan Tully, her uncle. I think he kind of gets written out a little bit, and I'm sure he's going to reappear in season three because we do go to River Run, which is actually where she says she's heading. She's like, "Screw Winterfell. I don't need anybody to accompany back north. I'm going to River Run because my brother is under attack and my father's sick. So peace out, Rob."
Yeah.
Kirk, is this the first time we're hearing about this with her brother and her father?
Right.
I just think this is an interesting moment because this sort of seals her
fate?
Story. Well, I think it just seals her story in terms of the next couple of books, because this is where Catelyn chooses between the Stark and the Tully. You know,
oh,
this
that
is where
true.
She's at this crossroads that I love to point out so much.
This is it, guys. This is the pivot.
The
for
end
Catelyn.
Of the crossroads again.
This is Catelyn's Goblet of Fire, man.
Yeah.
This is her fresh blood and bone right here.
And yeah, and she chooses the Tully Ray, and I think that's interesting. I wonder what would have happened if she'd gone back to Winterfell.
I think that Dion probably wouldn't have become a dick face. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, there's nothing preventing that.
No, I think that he would have been like, well, Catelyn's here, so I'm going to look like a mean person. I think I might stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kids act just so different when adults are around. It's true. Especially ones that raised them.
So what were your owns from this particular chapter? Anything stand out to you guys?
Well, it was a lot of description. For me, there were a lot of sort of descriptive parts that I really liked, but I really enjoyed the way that Catelyn egged on Rob to take control. You know, he already had control, but he needed his mom to just come in and say, just take a deep breath and just lead your men. So I really enjoyed when Catelyn said, "Make no mistake, Rob, these are your bannermen, not your friends. You named yourself battle commander. Command." I was
Boom.
Like, yeah, you go, Catelyn.
She picked up Boom. A spare gauntlet from across the room and threw it down on the table.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in later, he's like, "Hey, where's my left glove?" Sorry about that. My mom was playing with it. Here you go. Anyway.
My own is Catelyn again, just for how she is trying to guide her son without wanting to talk down to him, and how she manipulates him into doing what she wants. You know, and making the right, what she believes to be the right choices without specifically saying, "No, you shouldn't send him, you should send him."
Yeah, she's
so I thought
awesome.
That was really, really cleverly done. And she cares so much about not embarrassing him and making sure that, you know, he looks good in front of his men.
Yeah, she was like future-proofing him. She was saying, "I want you to go home because it's about to get really crazy. And I think that you are too young, but thinking ahead to the future, if you go home now, they're going to laugh at you. And there's nothing worse for respect, especially in the future, than laughter. It's like the poison to power." And I thought that was really interesting.
I just like when Rob said, "Grey Wind ate two of his fingers," and he laughed about it. "So you agree then?" And then Catelyn says, "Your father is not fearless. He is brave, but that is very different." And then he flips from going to Great John to being like, "Oh, yeah, Roose Bolton, how about we go with him? He scares the shit out of me," as I mentioned earlier in the episode. So it's kind of an owning moment for Catelyn, tying into what both Celine and Eric pointed out, that she's just trying to move him along in his decision-making process.
I'm going to have to toss my own to the weather, because it's got the most talk during the show.
It's true.
And, you know, it's just surprising us in so many different ways. So thank you, weather, for existing on this biosphere. and keeping us entertained, and also allowing us to dedicate an entire channel of people just talking about what you're doing. So go weather, you.
Keep shining.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep shining. Keep blowing. Mm. Keep shining.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Good job, Eric. Very efficient. I love it.
If you'd like to say goodbye to us or perhaps send us your own from this particular chapter or any chapter that we read, you can do so by tweeting at us at Game of Owns or perhaps posting on our Facebook page like our good friend George did. That's his name, right?
It is. George Walterson. George Walterson.
Jordan Walsh.
We're on the Tweety Bird, as Micah says. It exists. If you'd like to do it again, to tweet again, like Micah just said, it's at Game of Bones. So be sure to do that. Also, refer to Selena's Twitter account if you'd like to see things about science fiction and cloning,
mm-hmm.
just in case you're into that sort of thing.
And also hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. There's nothing about cloning on there, but it's still pretty good.
Not yet.
Until there's a show about cloning.
Anything could happen.
Like Dollhouse, but different. Oh my gosh, there should be a
is
show
Dollhouse about cloning?
No, it
did
wasn't.
You just spoil Dollhouse for
it
me?
It wasn't about...
It's okay,
it's
they
not
canceled
about cloning.
The show.
I was
so.
Thinking about The Island, which is a movie. I don't know why I got those two confused.
It's probably because it's got ScarJo and Ewan McGregor. Just like Ewan looking McGregor. Perfectly tan the entire movie.
Yes.
They're just like the perfect tone of like fake Hollywood
that's
orange.
That's still a pretty good movie, though.
Oh, that's a great movie. I love it.
I
yeah.
like that movie.
Did you call her ScarJo?
Yeah, we're friends.
That's brilliant.
Also, Hypeable, it exists. You should click on it with your hands. What about iTunes? Does that still exist?
It does still exist.
I wasn't sure about that.
Where you can happily rate and review us with 5 stars. We do appreciate it. We did get quite a few more reviews. Perhaps we'll read those later on in the week and share with you some of the great things that... people had to say, like Mr. Shepherd
wow.
Commander. Or
I'm speechless right now.
Please tell us what Shepherd says because I have the threat for the week.
I'll share it later on in the week with everybody. I feel as if we're short on time here. But yeah, 5 stars. That's what we're looking for. We appreciate it. And that's all I got to say.
If this might not be the official threat of this week, this collection of episodes, but I do just want to give an honorable mention to anyone considering 4 stars or below that I will force you in some way. I will find out. I will use magic if I have to. I've been trying to quit, but I will force you to look at this photo of Eric just pointing at the camera in a white tee. I will force you to look at this photo for the next 72 hours, directly following your rating and review.
Zach, now we're going to get loads of low reviews. You know that the listeners want to do that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is it better or worse than this picture of Dylan that you shared?
I think that it's better because there's a picture of David Bowie in the background.
Okay, touche.
Right?
That's all I was looking for.
You and Dylan could start a boy band, though.
We have both had, at different periods of time, long hair.
They could call you guys flowing locks. We could call you guys no dandruff allowed. They could call you guys Boyzone. Let's go with Boyzone. I like that better.
Boyzone.
We're seeing how long we can prolong this episode.
So what should we do? Should we end the episode just like just start the music now?
Yeah.
And so it's going. And so now we have to like stall for like 13 seconds so we can get to the point in the music where it stops and it makes sense.
Yes.
Eric Stogg's back, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't kill. He didn't kill his animal after all. No, like, you guys were worried about it. Well, that's it. That's Monday. It's Sunday, but you'll listen to it on Monday. You get it. Go home, everybody. Leave. Okay. Go home. I'm Zach.
Darcy.
No, that's Selena.
My dog. My roommate's dog.
All right. That's good.
Bye.